Good morning. It's 9:06, Wednesday, May 9th. Call to order the Dallas City Council meeting. And welcome everybody to our meeting today. We will be led in our invocation by Dr. Sharon Patterson. Dr. Sharon Patterson is a well-known pastor and author. She worked with me in our early days on our homeless issue. She's a great leader. And I think what's amazing about her is she's also a breast cancer survivor, written a book on that. And Dr. Patterson, I'm so happy that you've made your five-year anniversary.
Thank you.
That's great. So would you please lead us in invocation? And then after that will be Samantha Perez of the Maya Angelou High School will be leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let every head be bowed as we go to God in prayer. Eternal God, we come this morning with bowed heads and humble hearts. For Lord, you have been good. It was you, O God, who underwrote the very budget of this day. We praise you for our life, for our health, and for our strength. And now, Lord, if you will, pour out your spirit on this city council chamber and bless every city council person under the sound of my voice. Give them gentle hearts and minds and that just stay on you. And, Lord, we ask a special blessing on our mayor, Mike Rollins. Lead and guide him, Lord, in the ways that make this city better. God, as you do all these things, we'll be so very careful to give you all the honor, glory, and praise. And we ask it in your holy and righteous name. And let all who agree say with great joy, Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Patterson. Samantha?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you. I also want to say that Dr. Patterson is raising $200,000 to give to places to provide mammograms for people that are women that are in low income areas and don't have the money. So I think that her effort is a great one. Before we go to open microphone, I'd like to say congratulations to Josh Hamilton, if anybody's listening. Okay. For, that is the, you know, to have an event like that in our lifetime is pretty exciting, and to have it be a Texas Ranger. Congratulations to him and the Rangers. With that, Ms. Rios, we've got the open microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We are going to begin with your morning speakers, Carlos Marroquin, Steve Mathers, Amy Fun, Meredith Story, and Karen Blessin. Individuals will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When the time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Again, your first speaker is Carlos Marroquin. If you'll please state your name and address for the record.
Carlos Marroquin, 5106 Cedar Springs, Dallas, Texas, 75235. Good morning to everyone. I'm Mayor Rawlings, City Council, Mary Stum, and City Secretary. Good morning. I know a lot of times you don't hear that to you, but good morning to you, too. I'm here representing our members of SEIU Local 5 that work for the City of Dallas and workers from Workers United. Together, we represent about 2,500 members here in Dallas, both in the private sector as well as in the public sector. As a whole, SEIU has a membership of 2.1 million nationwide. As SEIU Local 5 director, I wanted to speak to you today about two items in the agenda for today, that SEIU is completely behind it, supports it, and will ask you to vote in favor. Those are items 2, 3, and 4. First, agenda item number 2. Last November, I came before you to ask of this council and Mayor Stum to make it a year where you put employees first. We also ask for restoration of their pay and the end of furloughs in the 2012-2013 budget. Well, today, May 9th, you're moving in the right direction. I'm very happy, I'm very thankful and grateful for a couple of things. First, the courage that you have taken and the dedication that you have to go ahead and restore the employees' pay. Thank you. And my wife and I are celebrating a 14-year anniversary, so hi, sweetie, you know. Sorry, I had to throw that in. I also wanted to take the time to horse you to thank you for the action that you will be taking today, because that says that you are putting employees first. You're lifting employees' morale, and you're reinvesting in your workforce, and that's a win-win for everyone. Mayor, thank you for always being a great leader. Ms. Madrano, thank you for always supporting the workers. Mr. Adkid, thank you for your vision and your determination. Ms. Davis, thank you for your passion. She's not here, but she'll get it. Oh, there she is. There you go. Ms. Hassel, thank you for your attention to the issues. Ms. Hunt, I know she's not here, but she's very courageous, and we like that about her. Ms. Alonso, thank you for your dedication and your hard work. And Mr. Griggs, thank you for your support and also the attention to detail that you always have. Mr. Allen, Ms. Coop, Ms. Margolin, thank you for having an open-door policy and receiving us whenever there's some issues that we have to go. I have 43 seconds, so I'll go real quick. All of these things do not happen just because they happen. You need a dedicated team of hard-working city employees to prepare the city for the city that demands and what it takes for this city to function. And for that to happen, you need the captain to steer the ship. You need someone who loves her job, someone who can delegate, someone who really cares for the city employees under her watch, someone who works very hard, is dedicated, and she's really good at what she does. And that person is Mary Stum. Thank you, Mary. I need a few more seconds because this is my end of my speech. Therefore, with that saying, SEIU Local 5 will be asking you to vote in favor of items 2, 3, and 4. In item number 4, Mary Stum, you have earned it, and you deserve it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. Good to see you.
Your next speaker is Steve Mathis. Mr. Mathis will be followed by Amy Fan, Meredith Story, and Karen Blessen. Please state your name and address, sir.
My name is Steve Mathis. I reside at 4334 Brown Street, apartment 264, Dallas, Texas, 75219. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Good morning, Council. I have good news and bad news for the Council today. The good news here, I have to thank the City of Dallas, Councilman Carraway, and the City of Dallas Housing Program for saving me from a potentially dangerous housing situation. A year ago at this time, I would also like to thank three people in particular: Susan Durham, Erica Mollett, and Richard Langman. Mrs. Durham is one of the most compassionate and dedicated people that I know. She does her job, and she likes it very well. Ms. Mollett is one of the hardest working people here in the City of Dallas. I've seen Ms. Mollett in 1 week at three different events: a rally here at City Hall, in South Dallas at the Martin Luther King Center, and checking on the doors program at the Bill Priest Center. If you want to see your tax dollars in action, you need to watch Ms. Mollett. You'll definitely get your money's worth. Mr. Richard Lane is one of the best people I know. He's dealt with me. I'm a very hard person to deal with at times, and he's been very patient with dealing with me in certain situations. he's also been like a big brother and a father figure to me. I would really like to thank all of them. They're very special to me, and I appreciate everything they've done. Now the bad news. Last week I was sent by the City of Dallas Sanitation Department and took a drug test and passed it. However, this job offer was rescinded because of my felony that is not old enough by 1 year. I was crushed by this. I work very hard and have a Class A CDL, forklift license, and a tow truck license. I feel that the hiring process here at the City of Dallas for ex-offenders should be changed. If you're going to have ex-offender programs like Project Reconnect and the Doors program and want other companies to hire ex-offenders, you have to be proactive and lead the way by example. How long will I have to pay for my past indiscretions? Last semester, I made straight A's at El Centro College. I'm also a representative of the prison ministry at St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church and go to prison to speak every third and fourth Saturday of the month. This is the main reason I'm here. This could have been a great day for the City of Dallas and myself. Unfortunately, it is not. We need to find a way to work together to solve these issues, or guys like me who are trying to do the right thing could go back to their old ways. Now, wouldn't that be sad after all the progress I've made? Think about it. The EEOC has already charged Pepsi with discrimination because of blanket hiring practices that stop ex-offenders from being hired, regardless of the case. We have to look at ex-offenders on a case-by-case basis and not lump them all together. All some of us need is a chance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very powerful. Thank you.
The next speaker is Amy Tan. Please state your name.
My name is Amy Fan, and do I need to say my address?
No, that's fine.
Yeah, you're fine. So, hello, my name is Amy Fan, and I am in sixth grade at Irma Rangel Young Women's Leadership School in DISD. This is the first all-girls public school in the state of Texas. When we were first introduced to the Masterpiece program, we learned about how we could use peacemaking to make a change in the world. We were informed about the great peacemakers such as Wangari Maathai and Mother Teresa, and were asked to put ourselves in their shoes. Then we were assigned different topics about homelessness, such as shelter, mental illness, child care, and human contact. We researched these topics in our assigned groups and listened to experts in the field. We made portable art that could be displayed in different locations to call attention to these problems. We had to make it from materials that you could find from the street so we could see from the perspective of the homeless person. We then came up with solutions to the problems that homeless people face. The project changed my perspective of homeless people by seeing them through their eyes. Homeless people are regular people who went through difficulties in their lives that they couldn't cope with. We shouldn't criticize them or socialize them with something that is bad. They are just like you and me, and we need to keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next speaker is Meredith Story. Just state your name for the record, please.
I'm Meredith Story. This project has greatly affected me, as well as the other students who have worked so hard to create the presentation that you've seen today. Before this project began, many of the students believed that homeless people were in their positions because of their actions. But as we studied deeper into this project, we learned that in reality, only a small amount of the homeless people we see today are there because of their drug or alcohol abuse. In reality, most homeless people are there because they had a bad economic streak. For example, many of these people have had jobs, but when they lost their homes as well. Many of the homeless people also have families that they have to take care of. And if they aren't able to provide for their families, then we have to be able to provide to make them back, to bring them back into our society. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Karen Blessing. Please state your name and address.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Karen Blessin. My address is 6327 Victory Boulevard. My council person is Angela Hunt. Wish her well. Thank you, Mayor Rawlings. Thank you, council, for having us here today. Special thanks to Paula Blackman, who's been a huge help in arranging this visit. I represent the organization 29 Pieces and the Masterpiece Program. In Masterpiece, it is a hands-on, arts-based program that teaches essential social values like kindness and compassion and important life skills like problem-solving and conflict resolution. We have worked with over 3,000 children in 16 schools in Dallas, and we've had the great honor of working with these students you see here today and the students they represent at their schools at Parish Episcopal, at Maya Angelou High School, and at Irma Rangel Young Women's Leadership School. I invite the mayor and all council members and everybody in the chambers to come down to the lobby today and to go across the street to the public library to see the art that the children have created. They have investigated various aspects of the issue of homelessness, such as human contact, mental health, medical and dental care, exercise, cultural competence, veterans and homelessness, and they have, as Amy said, they have researched it and they've come up with solutions. So my hope is that we will all live up to their desire to see Dallas become a city where everybody has a home and everybody has shelter. So thank you very much, and I honor the students and their teachers and thank them. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
And I have brochures.
Thank you, Ms. Burton. Yeah, please pass them out because I've got one.
What's
I think it's interesting
for
all the city council to,
okay.
to see.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of the City of Dallas, I think the Masterpiece Program is a great one to uplift the human spirit and understand these social issues we face, such as homelessness. So thank you. I will be down there later to see your artwork, and I hope the City Council people take their time to do that. Yes, I'm fine.
And we brought cookies for everybody.
Oh,
too.
There we go.
Could the students just hold up three pieces of art
please,
for a moment?
Please.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's great. Yes, and we'll take the cookies whenever you got them. We like to snack. I will tell you the students that the issue of homelessness is important to this city council. It has worked hard to do the right thing by the least of these, and at the same time try to deal with the neighborhood issues we have, and these are tough civic issues that we face. But we think about this nearly every couple of weeks about how we can do a better job. So thank you for your leadership, teachers, and thank you to the students for your hard work. We appreciate it. I will say to brag, this is a couple of DISD schools, and I think somebody might have read the paper this morning that we also have the number one public high school in the United States of America again. With the Yvonne Yule Talented and Gifted High School, so it's great to see leaders, future leaders like you here, and hopefully you can learn something here being at City Hall. Thank you very much, Ms. Rios. We'll move to the next item.
Thank you. Your first item is approval of minutes of the April 25, 2012 City Council meeting.
Second.
We've got a motion, Mr. Stain. Second. Any edits, discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We follow now with your consent agenda, which includes agenda items number 2 through 26 and addendum item number 1. There were no items pulled for individual consideration.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to item number 27, which is your first item for individual consideration. That is consideration of appointments to boards. You have just two vice chair nominations by Mayor Rawlings to the Board of Adjustment as vice chairs Darlene Reynolds and Robert Moore.
Motion approved.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda items 28, 29, and addendum items number 5 and 6 require I read the following statement into the record. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. These items will do require 2 seconds. Item number 28 is authorize a public hearing to be held on May 23, 2012 on amendments to tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 7, Sports Arena TIF District, and the project and reinvestment zone financing plans for the Sports Arena TIF District 2. Number 1, add 2 new sub-districts within the Sports Arena TIF District, 1A, Riverfront Gateway Sub-District, and 1B, West Dallas Sub-District. Number 2, increase the geographical area of the Sports Arena TIF District to add approximately A, 4.5 acres to the Vickery Sub-District, B, 33 acres in the Riverfront Gateway Sub-District, and C, 89.2 acres in the West Dallas Sub-District. Number 3, extend the termination date of the Sports Arena TIF District for a 10-year period from the City Council established termination date of December 31, 2018 to December 31, 2028 for the Vickery Sub-District and establish a termination date for the Riverfront Gateway and West Dallas Sub-District of December 31, 2042. Number 4, decrease the percentage of tax increment contributed by the City of Dallas during the extended term of the TIF District and establish other taxing jurisdictions participation percentages. Number 5, increase the Sports Arena TIF District budget from $46,961,785 total dollars to approximately $273,599,175 total dollars. And number 6, create an economic development TIF grant program within the district and adopt program guidelines. And number 7, make corresponding modifications to the Sports Arena TIF district boundary budget and project and reinvestment zone financing plans. And at the close of the hearing, consideration of an ordinance amending ordinance number 23688 and 24023 to reflect these amendments. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Atkins.
Yep, Mayor, we had this in economic development twice. We had some questions that need to be addressed, and we did get all the questions addressed, so I'm going to make a motion to move it to the public hearing to held on May 23rd.
Second.
Thank you. We have a second. Mr. Carraway?
Well, I just wanted to say I'm excited the fact that this is going to be moved, and I'm excited the fact that we are now moving forward with this. It's a necessity. It's something that is extremely important for our city. And I just want to say thank you, and we're going to move forward.
Great. Thank you. Any other comments, discussion? Hearing none. We need to say we got 2 seconds, didn't we, Mr. Alonzo? Mr. Alonzo? We have hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 29 is authorize the execution of a loan agreement with West Dallas Community Centers, Inc., for the renovation of recreational facilities located at 3232 Baton Street. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. Before I make the motion, I want to thank all the staff that helped with the West Dallas Community Centers and the community in putting all this together, and we look forward to it. And I make a motion for approval.
Second.
Ms. Carey and Ms. Davis, second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. I will add that, speaking of West Dallas, Ms. Alonzo and I were speaking, Los Barrios Unidos got a $5 million grant, federal grant recently. You want to speak on that? I think it's a great big news.
Yes, sir. They got a $5 million grant. And also, as I mentioned earlier, they opened West Coast University for nursing in also in District 6. And they also received $10,000 from that university. So we're very happy. We're very pleased they received that grant to be able to put another clinic in the southwest area, which we look forward to, and hopefully that many will be able to take that opportunity. Thank you, Mayor. And I also wanted to recognize Terrell Williams, which is the executive director for the West Dallas Community Centers, and also Maria, thank you very much for being here, and thank you for everything that you do for all of our communities and the centers that are in that West Dallas Community Centers. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
We proceed now to addendum item number 2. That is to authorize, number 1, civilian salary adjustments effective May 30, 2012 in an amount not to exceed $1,420,551 in the general fund in an amount not to exceed $999,934 in various enterprise internal service and special revenue funds. And number 2, an increase in appropriations in the general fund in an amount not to exceed $1,420,551 and in various enterprise and special revenue funds in an amount not to exceed $113,872.
We've got a motion and a second. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Mayor. On this addendum item, I just want to thank the citizens of Dallas and also the employees of the city of Dallas. When you find money to at least try to give back to the, is this the right one? When you try to give back to the city for the work they've been doing, it's a great opportunity to see that. And when I walked down these halls and back in 2010, and for many, many years since I've been here, we have had furlough days, percentage of the service cut, and still have the vision and the passion of the employees still working. But I want to go back to the time that we raised the property tax on the citizens here, that we did say at that particular time that we was going to try to bring back the furlough days. And that's something we were talking about. And for us to come back and say in this budget cycle that we are bringing back some of the money that we took from you. And I hopefully, and I wish Mary Stone was here. I don't see her sitting there, but Mary, that, you know, you're doing a great job. Oh, you're here. Oh, I'm sorry. And she's working. She's trying to work on the furlough days, you know, and to get that money back in the next year budget. What I wanted to say that to do this is a great opportunity for the city manager and her staff to find the money to give back to the employees here. But also, I want to look at turn fast forward in 2013, the furlough days. Mary, we need to try to bring furlough days back, because I do remember they said when we did decide to do the tax increase, if we do find the money, the furlough days will be put back, maybe one or two. And I look at that, it's probably cost maybe $700,000 for each furlough day, so it was about $2.8 million to try to restore all the furlough days. Hopefully, we can give those furlough days one at a time. But also, Mayor, we do understand that with meeting and confer, it's still going to cost us probably about $1.5 million for those meeting confers or the uniforms, which is about another $4.5 million. So if we talk about the furlough days for all the city employees and also by meeting confer, we talk about $7 million. And the reason I'm saying this, that it is a great opportunity to have this, but we still got much work to go and to restore our citizens and our employees to the point that you got customer service. Because if we do not have happy employees, we're not going to have happy campus around here in the city of Dallas. I'm trying to make sure we have happy employees. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Did you want to say something?
All I was going to say was the meet and confer price tag is about $26-27 million. So,
and I'll say if you put those three mandates that you got to give back, that's about $1.5 million.
Well, yeah, that is in the meet and confer.
In meet and confer,
they will get those furlough days back. And the way we're planning the budget now, we're trying to restore all the furlough days October 1st.
Right, and that's
still in that process.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that going to the general fund, county general fund is $4.5 million to the general fund.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. I have a couple questions, Mary. This item is for what? item two.
It's to restore salary cuts that were made in the budget in civilian salaries.
Okay. How many furlough days? Were any furlough days?
This is not furlough days. This is just the direct salary cuts. We restored some furlough days in this year's budget,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to restore the rest of them October 1.
So, and the rest of them will be four altogether?
Yes, ma'am.
And so you're...
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so right now, on October 1, they will have four furlough days that restored back.
I can't promise that. That's where we're heading. But you and I will be working through the budget all this summer, and that's the goal.
Okay. And then are we looking at restoring the employee salary by at least 2%?
This action restores employee salaries, the restoration you took of their salaries. And if we restore furlough days October 1, we'll be back to where we were.
Okay, but the restore will be what? When you said try to restore.
Okay, we cut employee salaries two ways. One, by having furlough days, which are basically days off without pay,
mm-hmm.
and two, by directly cutting salaries.
And I'm just trying to find out, Mary, is it 2%, 1%?
It varies for employees.
It varies for employees.
Yes.
Okay. And so each employee, their percentage will be different.
One group, the lower-level employees, lower-paid employees got less cuts, so they'll get less back. And the higher-level employees got bigger cuts. They got the 3%. The others got the 2%.
So that's my question. So for the higher employees, they get at least 3%. For the lower employees, they get around 2%.
A little bit more than 2%, yes.
A little more than 2%. That's the
question. With this action, yes.
Okay, that's the question I'm asking. And the reason I'm asking is because, you know, as you know, I'm on the Employees Retirement Fund, and that really will help the retirement fund. And that's the reason that I'm asking that question, because there has been a huge discussion, and it was a huge debate on yesterday. So I'm glad to see that we're doing this. It really will help our Employees Retirement Fund, because it was kind of shaky there, because the city was doing a lot more. And I want to thank you for adding your share of funds to the Employees Retirement Fund while we were going through some of these difficult times. Thank you so much. And we'll be looking at October 1 for some type of furlough days added back. Thank
yes,
you.
Ma'am.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Caraway.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mary, for all that you've done and will continue to do. And I want to say, in piggybacking on what my other colleague had mentioned, making sure that we keep the morale of the employees up so that we can continue to have a vibrant city. I was a part of the vote that we had a few years ago when we raised taxes. And I also want to say that was a close vote. It was something that we felt at the time was a necessity. Not only do I want to keep the morale of the employees up, but I want to keep the spirit of our citizens up. I want to say that, Mayor, and to the council, when we get into a position, because our city is growing, I'm not opposed to a rollback. I want to just put that on the future radar screen, that for our citizens, whenever it is that we can take them and give them an opportunity to get something back as well, we need to reconsider and take a look at what we can do to make sure that we all, as citizens of this city and employees, are benefiting as we continue to grow a great city. So I just wanted to be the first to put it out there. I'm not opposed to a rollback, but when we get to a point, should we, and I feel that we will, at some point, that's something that we need to make sure we keep on our radar screen.
Thank you, Ms. Caraway. Mrs. Coop.
Thank you, Mayor. I too want to thank the manager for the restoration of some of the furlough days and the increase in salary. Actually, Ms. Davis and I were talking about it as an inverse relationship, and it's going to work out quite nicely. And certainly, if the budget so allows us to, I would be in favor of restoring the furlough days. I think it really is important to the employees, and I was just noticing here our average service years of service for the employees is 11 years. So we have a very skilled employee set group out there, and we certainly are proud of all the things they do in service for the city of Dallas. And that they stick by us even when the budget is tough, and certainly we hope that the budget will allow those furlough days to be restored this fall. So we'll see. I mean, it's a long way to the budget, but certainly I think all the council members would like to at least look at that, certainly, and have that option when the fall comes. Thank you very much, Manager.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Just as a point of history, I think it must have been very difficult for all of you that were on the council to make those cuts. And those are tough calls. I know it was from assume. The United States has been in the worst financial situation it's been since the Great Depression, and a lot of that has been on the backs of public employees, specifically in Dallas and here in the city, the 5,000 to 6,000 civilian employees we have. Residents as well, you know, had cutbacks in services. We had to make tough calls. So it's great to look at this year's budget and realize that because things are turning around, we've got extra cash, and I think it's a great decision that we're making to put that back into our city employees first, and let's move to next year and try to resolve the furlough case days. So it's tough. I've been there before where you have to cut people back or lay them off, and it's a much happier day when you're able to give them back and restore. So I'm happy to see that happening in Dallas right now. With that, any other comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you. We are going to skip over item 3 and 4 until we go into executive sessions. So item number 5.
Addendum item number 5 is authorize the third modification agreement to the Community Development Block Grant Economic Development Loan with Kaminsky Holdings, Inc. 2, number 1, increase the loan amount from $597,500 to $629,000. Number 2, change the amount of the forgivable portion of the loan from $150,000 to $298,905 over a 5-year period, beginning with full occupancy of the retail space. And number 3, set the repayment terms for the $330,095 balance to be repaid to allow for interest-only payments from January 15, 2013 through January 14, 2018, and principal and interest payments amortized monthly at 3% to begin January 15, 2018 and continue for 15 years for the commercial portion of a mixed-use building at 5208 Fair Street. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
I move to approve addendum item number 5.
We've got a motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 6 is authorize the fourth modification to the Home Investment Partnership Housing Development Loan with Haitop Enterprises, Inc. to number 1. Change the amount of the forgivable portion of the loan from $270,700 to $509,620. And number 2, set the repayment terms for the $383,080 balance to be repaid to allow for interest-only payments from January 15, 2013 through January 14, 2018, and principal and interest payments amortized monthly at 3% to begin January 15, 2018 and continue for 15 years for the residential portion of the mixed-use building at 5203 Bear Street. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, sir. I move to approve item number 6.
Second. We've got a motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That concludes your items for consideration this morning.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go into executive session now, and we will hold items 3 and 4 till 1 o'clock when we adjourn. We'd like to move right now, City Council, right to executive session, so if you can move back in the room. It is 9:45.
Let me make one announcement. Today at 11:30, Fred Hammond would be here at 11:30 in the flag room. the recording gospel. The reason why he's coming today, this will be the fourth year that we will be kicking off the symphony at Paul Quinn College, which would be on May 23rd at 8 p.m. at Paul Quinn College. And that's why the colleague, if you want to come up early and talk to Fred Hamlin and to kick off the symphony, please show up at 11:30 today in the flag room.
Thank you. It's 9:45 a.m. May 9th, 2012. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda: legal issues regarding operations of golf pros with which the City has contracts, and some personnel matters. Section 551 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to consider the personnel matters involving the review and evaluation of the City Council appointees. Thank you.
You come back at what time?
Yeah. 1 o'clock. We will reconvene. 1 o'clock. It's 1:55 p.m. May 9th, 2012. The City Council will now go back into session. We were in closed session under 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. We received advice from and consulted with the City Attorney on following matters described in today's agenda: legal issues regarding operations of golf pros with which the City has contracts, and Section 551 of .074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to consider the personnel matters involving the review and evaluation of City Council appointees. Thank you. And Ms. Rio, I think we're going to pick up two items from this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For your consideration, you have addendum item number 3 to authorize an increase in the annual base salary of the City Attorney Thomas P. Perkins, Jr. in the amount of $4,836 from $234,120 to $238,956 plus the associated pension contribution in the amount of $444 for a total annual additional cost of $5,280 effective May 9, 2012.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I will read in a motion that substitutes numbers for those numbers read by Ms. Rios. And my motion is to authorize an increase in the annual base salary of City Attorney Thomas P. Perkins, Jr. in the amount of $12,309 from $234,120 to $246,429 plus the associated pension contribution in the appropriate amount for a total additional cost of $246,429 plus the pension contribution effective May 9, 2012. I so move.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
So move.
Do you have anything to use? Second?
Okay,
second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. No.
Addendum item number 4 is to authorize an increase in the annual base salary of City Manager Mary Kay Soom in the amount of $25,100 from $265,617 to $290,717 plus the associated pension contribution in the amount of $2,307 effective May 9, 2012, and an increase in the deferred compensation account in the amount of $4,000 from $4,000 to $8,000 for a total additional cost of $31,407.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Coop. Ms. Coop. Second. Okay. You just made motion. Mr. Atkins.
Yeah. Mayor, you know, just point of record, point of order. I believe Mary Soom is one of our best city managers that we didn't have. When we first came on City Council, we ended up giving Mary a bonus back then, 2007. And I know someone's going to ask and say, why the city manager getting X number or whatever, but if we calculate that number and do the calculation, if we did give her a raise back in 2007, it would be the equivalent to the same today. So if she not getting a big raise, we're doing what we should have done back in 2007. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Atkins, Ms. Took.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Mayor. Where is Nancy?
She's downstairs.
Oh,
where she
I'm
was.
Gonna thank her for her service.
Yes.
I'll be
she can probably hear you.
Okay.
She's probably listening.
Let me go ahead and do that.
Please, go ahead.
Well, if the manager was here, I wouldn't. She was in the back.
There she is.
I wanted to thank the manager for her service. Since she's been our city manager for several years now, I wanted to thank her for that. Mary, we do think very highly of you. And we hope that you stay a long time. We really do. And I know that the council feels the same way, and they also feel like, you know, the employees as well think very highly of you. We know that you work at this 24/7, 365 days out of the year. So we just wanted to let you know how much we appreciated your service. And Tom, we appreciate your service as well. As all our employees, it was a good day for the employees today, too, because they got some restoration, and hopefully we're going to get those furlough days back as well. So from the rest of us, just the acknowledgement that we think you're doing a terrific job. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Mr. Carraway.
Hey, thank you, Mayor, Mary and Linda. Let me just say to our city manager, one, and to the employees, every staff member, we certainly, and every employee, we certainly appreciate you and all that you do for the city and all the weight that's on your shoulders. Mary, you stand out because, one, the employee doesn't share all of the responsibilities that you share. You share more than 10,000 employees on a daily basis, and you are truly a champion. And all of America and the whole world would love to have you. But we're going to keep you in the number one city in the United States of America right here. We appreciate, and I personally appreciate, all that you do. You have a lot of weight on your shoulders. You have 15 bosses, and you've had 15 bosses on several different years and services through the city councils and mayors. You've done a tremendous job keeping this city together and moving us forward. It's not enough, I want to say that to you. It's all we can do at this time. But we know that you love this city, and we want you to know and the city employees to know that we love you, and this city loves you, and we're going to continue. You are our champion. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Ms. Hunt.
And Mary, I would say thank you for your dedicated service. It's impressive how dedicated you are to this job. I see you at every neighborhood meeting, every community affair. You are there. It has been an incredibly difficult 4 years for city employees, and we have asked them to sacrifice again and again, and they have willingly done so. We've let many people go, and it's so hard when you think of that on the individual level of the families it affects. And so I do not say this as a reflection of your incredible work for the city of Dallas. I would support a more modest increase on top of the 4% restoration for you because I think it's deserved. Although I can't support the increase that we're discussing at this time, I do want you to know that I hold you in the highest esteem. I appreciate you tremendously, and I thank you for your leadership. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. First of all, I want to thank all of our city employees for all the work that they have done here at the City of Dallas. That's from the trash pick up, when they pick up our trash daily, the people who are at the animal shelters, from people who work here at City Hall making sure that our trash is empty. I want to thank them for what they do. They deserve more than what we can give them. here in this city. You guys have really done a wonderful job in this city, working for us each and every day. And it does not go unnoticed of all the work that you've done. And but our city manager runs our city, and I tell people this daily, that this is a city management form of government. And if you have concerns or complaints, voice your opinion to the city manager. We did do a modest increase this morning. I was telling one of the colleagues that this will definitely help our retirement fund. For the ones of you who are in the city retirement fund, this will really help and boost that retirement fund back to where it needs to be. It's a retirement fund for you, and I serve on that board appointed by the mayor. So I just want to say that, Mary. It was we had a huge debate, but I think we worked through it. I think, like anybody else, you are a city manager. I will be supporting the increase, but I'm hoping that in October that we can give back all the furloughs to all of our employees, and continue to do. You do some type of appreciation to them once a month. I'm hoping that we can continue to do that. I know that some of our employees, they was kind of feeling pretty down here a couple of years ago. But I'm hoping that this will at least show them that we appreciate them, we thank them. And I know sometimes as a city council member, I put a lot of stress on some of the employees, wanting them to do certain things in my district throughout the city. But I just hope they know that we do care about them and all the work that they do. I don't care, if, like I said, from the person who's picking up the trash every day to you as our city manager. All of them deserve to be treated fairly and with a head up each and every day here in our city. And I wish I could do more, and I would do more. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? And we have one no. Motion is carried. I will say on behalf of the citizens, you have a good city council that just went through a lot of great healthy discussion on the future of the leadership of the city, focused on what's right for the citizens, and I'm very proud of them. And we believe that we've got to make sure we have the very best in leadership in this city. And Ms. Soon, while you may not have the best salary in the nation, we think you're one of the best. So thank you. Thank you very much for that. Next item. Thank you.
We proceed now with your consent zoning agenda items. That is consisting of agenda items number 30 through 37. I will read those into the record. Item number 30 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and an expansion of specific use permit number 1526 for a private school on property zoned on R-7.5A single family district on the southwest corner of Abrams Road and Kenwood Avenue. Item number 31 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a historic district overlay on property zoned in R-7.5 single family sub-district within planned development district number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District, on the southeast side of Maple Springs Boulevard at the terminus of Stoneley Avenue. Item number 32 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store greater than 3,500 square feet use on property within sub-district 2B of planned development district number 714, the West Commerce Street Fort Worth Avenue Special Purpose District, with a D1 liquor control overlay on the west side of Sylvan Avenue north of the Dallas-Fort Worth Turnpike I-30. Item number 33 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an LC light commercial sub-district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned ATH-3 Townhome Subdistrict in Plan Development District Number 193, the Oakland Special Purpose District on the southeast side of Vegas Street north of Harry Hines Boulevard. Item number 34 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a tower antenna for cellular communication on property zoned in R-5A Single Family Subdistrict within Plan Development District Number 595, the South Dallas Fair Park Special Purpose District on the southwest corner of Hatcher Street and Closure Street. Item number 35 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting for the renewal of specific use permit number 1696 for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a bar, lounge, or tavern on property zoned Plan Development District Number 269, the Deep Ellum Near East Side Special Purpose District on the south side of Elm Street east of Crowder Street. Item number 36 is a public hearing regarding an application for and a resolution terminating deed restrictions on property zoned in RR Regional Retail District on the southeast corner of North Central Expressway on Walnut Hill Lane. Item number 37 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a contractor's maintenance yard on property within the Subdistrict 1 portion of Plan Development District Number 535, the CF Hahn Special Purpose District Number 3 on the southwest line of CF Hahn Freeway southeast of Cade Road. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? We do have one individual coming up. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. If you will please indicate what agenda item you're speaking on and whether you clarify that you are in opposition. Your comments need to be addressed to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
Yeah, my name is William Hoffman. Mayor Rawlings, so I have to speak on 30 through 37. You just gave Mary Soon and Tom Perkins a raise. So the public, you swore an oath to serve the public, and we got to speak from 30 to 37 in 3 minutes. And where's Mary Soon? You just gave her a raise. You know, I want to ask her, is this legal or is this some little more, you know, racist?
Do you have a comment on any of the items?
Yeah. Is this for me to have to speak on number 30 through 37, is this legal or do I ask Tom Perkins? Is this legal what y'all doing, violating our rights to speak, violating everything?
All right,
is this legal?
It is legal.
It is legal? Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items read into the record? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve?
Second.
And we get a second. Any discussion on any of these items? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Your items for individual consideration are required to read the following statement. This applies to agenda items number 38 and 39. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 38 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a plan development subdistrict for Interstate 2 in the I-2 industrial subdistrict uses on property zoned in I-2 industrial subdistrict within plan development district number 193, the Oakland Special Purpose District on the west corner of Harry Hines Boulevard and Payne Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 31 notices to property owners when filing a PDR request, received 4 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
I'm sorry. I apologize, Mr. Mayor.
Please.
We do have one. I apologize. Sir, if you'll please state your name and address for the record. And clarify, please, that you are speaking in favor.
I'm speaking in favor.
You may proceed.
Good afternoon. Matt Segrist, 2808 Fairmont, Suite 200, Dallas, Texas, 75201.
I'm the developer on the project, and I wanted to tell you here we're very excited about this project. The site is located about 1.8 acres on Harry Hines and Payne, basically right behind the Advantage Platinum parking garage and one block east of the American Airlines Center. The property is three separate parcels, and there's split zoning on the property. And so our zoning case here is basically trying to have a coherent zoning for the entire site. What we're planning to do is we're going to build 263 apartments with about 3,500 square feet of retail space. It's going to be a mixed-use building, a mid-rise, six-story structure. As part of the development site, we're going to be burying the underground. The power lines that exist above grade, we're going to be burying those as part of the development. We met with over 14 different stakeholders during our process, and we received unanimous CPC approval. And we had no opposition at CPC and enthusiastic neighbor support. This project is what our company, Alamo Manhattan, is passionate about. Right now, this site is just a parking lot. It's an ugly parking lot. And there's a wall that runs along Harry Hines that is just constantly tagged with graffiti. It's an ugly wall. And so what we're going to do is we're going to replace that ugliness with a beautiful project. It's going to be a beautiful project the city can be proud of. It's going to be a real spur to the development of Victory. And we think we're something we're all going to be very proud of. So we appreciate your support.
Any other speakers in favor?
My name is Spence Soa of Harwood International. I live at 5016 Lilac Lane, Dallas, Texas, 75209. Harwood International owns 80% of the property within the notification zone of this project. Yeah. Gabrielle Barbier-Mueller, personally, Harwood International and its affiliated entities are supporting the zoning request because the applicant has agreed to the following. This is an excerpt from the agreement between us and the developer. In return for your personal support and the support of Harwood International and its affiliates of our zoning file numbers Z112-7171, parentheses WE, Alamo Manhattan Victory agrees to the following. To bury all above-grade utility lines that currently run along Harry Hines Boulevard and Payne Street as part of the development of the property. Complete all landscaping along Harry Hines Boulevard as per Exhibit A. Our agreement is predicated upon the zoning application, which Harwood International is in support of. We have many people here from Harwood International, as well as Leonor Villarreal of St. Anne's Alumni and the Friends of Little Mexico, who support the zoning as well. Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Medrano?
Thank you very much. And I have met with several of the property owners around this development. And I think for the record, I was going to also ask the burying of the utility lines. They have agreed with that. The widening of the sidewalk, can you give me exactly, I know Ms. Hunt would love this, can you tell me exactly how wide you're doing the sidewalk?
We're widening the sidewalk along Harry Hines. It's existing 4 foot. We're making an 8 foot sidewalk.
Okay. And how about lighting? What are we doing
about
lighting?
Street lighting consistent with other lighting in Victory Park.
Repeat that, please.
We'll have the street lighting consistent with other street lighting in Victory Park.
Okay. The only one concern that I had is the entrance and exit on Harry Hines into the complex. Tell me a little bit about the safetiness that y'all are trying to do.
Sure. This is something we've studied in depth as far as the site. What we've designed is three entrance and exit points on the property, one on Harry Hines, one on Ackard, and one on Payne. And we designed the one on Harry Hines to be as far north as possible so to avoid the traffic that backs up turning in. We think it's important for the residents to be able to avoid that traffic as much as possible. We also think it's going to relieve some pressure from the traffic that would be there otherwise, people turning in on Payne Street.
But tell me a little bit about where the gates will be in terms of exiting or entering the complex.
The private resident gates will be at Harry Hines, the Harry Hines entrance and the Ackard entrance. There'll be a public for guests and for the retail parking off of Payne.
But didn't you say that they were...
But all levels of the garage are accessed
from each level. So you can enter any entrance and go to any level of the garage.
But the gates won't be right at, say, the sidewalk. They'll be...
No, we're going to pull the gates in from the building so a car can pull in. And
that was my concern, colleagues, because as you're coming off the tollway or coming south on Harry Hines, you know, you've got that hill, and then you kind of, you know, coming down on that hill, and that to me was a little dangerous, but that relieves my concern because they actually can pull in before they enter the gates, correct?
Correct.
They actually can pull in into the complex before they enter the gates. Thank you very much. This is, to me, a gateway. It's right by Pike Park, and we talked about that ugly wall, and I think that with the improvement that we're doing at Pike Park and with this development, this is the gateway to downtown, if you will. It's right before American Airlines. It's coming down from Tollway, coming south on Harry Hines, and it really is the entrance of the downtown area, so a much welcome development for our area. So thank you very much for talking to all 14 residents, crime watches, other property owners in and around that area to make sure that you did the proper landscaping, the burying of the power line, the lighting, the power lines, and then of course the safety in entering and exiting that one entrance on Harry Hines. With that, Mayor, I'd like to approve item 38, Z112-171 WE with the things that we've put on record. Thank you very much.
Close it. I think we got a motion in 2 seconds. Okay, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you for your time.
Agenda item number 39 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and expansion of Plan Development District Number 811 on property zone Plan Development District Number 811 and IR Industrial Research District and RDAS 7.5A Single Family District and a RR Regional Retail District on property generally bounded by Interstate 30, Westmoreland Road, Fort Worth Avenue, and Pinnacle Park Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 103 notices to property owners from 500 feet of their request. Received 9 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? Sir, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Larry Good, 2808 Fairmount Street in Dallas, Good Fulton and Farrell, representing the applicant. We're here this afternoon and want you to know that we're available to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs.
I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission recommendations for approving Plan Development District Number 811 with the following changes. Delete medical infectious waste incinerators as a permitted use. Require an SUP for car washes. And amend the definition regulations for wind turbine as follows. Wind turbine means a wind-driven turbine for generating electricity primarily but not exclusively to serve the energy needs of the building site. Wind turbines may be attached to a building or be an independent freestanding structure. Wind turbines mounted on a building may not exceed 30 feet in height above the roof of the building. Freestanding wind turbines may not exceed a height of 100 feet.
Thank you. We have a motion and we have a second. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mayor.
We had 1 second. And we have another second, Ms. Alonzo. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to thank Mr. Griggs, his staff, and the people involved in this for checking into the oil and gas situation, and I appreciate that. And they did do the right things, and they found the right people, and they are perfectly okay to do what they're doing with not putting drilling on that site. So thank you all very much for going through that, and I apologize for even having to come up with that, but y'all did a great job and getting that straightened out. Thank you. Thanks, Mayor.
Please, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Cadane. And just for the record, gas filling is not permitted on the site by way of warranty deed. I think the applicant did a great job in getting the warranty deeds together to demonstrate that it's not available for the site. I think we made those available to Mr. Cadane, took a look at them. So we're good to go, and our investment with cleaning up the site, the environmental work that the applicant has done, and our future bond programs in this site are going to be protected, and we're going to be able to get this mixed-use development off the ground. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Any other questions, comments? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 40 is a public hearing on substantial amendment number 14 to amend the 2008-2009 through 2012-2013 consolidated plan and the 2011 to 2012 action plan for U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development funds to incorporate additional city priority needs, resources, and eligible activities, including number 1, job creation as an enumerated community development block grant CDBG activity to expand economic opportunities for low and moderate income persons, and number 2, identification of the use of Section 108 Guaranteed Loan Program funds for the Lake Highlands Town Center project as an eligible CDBG economic development activity, providing permanent full-time jobs held by approximately 394 low and moderate income persons, and at the close of the public hearing, authorize final adoption of substantial amendment number 14. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers, either in favor or in opposition? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Allen.
Move close public hearing. Move for approval.
We got a motion and second. Just 1 second.
1 second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that does conclude your agenda items. We proceed now to your afternoon speakers. Carrying over from this morning, we have Stephen Lewis and Corey D. Green. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. You will address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. When the timer is up, please let the next individual have their turn. Again, your first speaker is Stephen Lewis.
Good afternoon. Stephen Lewis, 13907 Mopper Drive, District 11. I want to primarily talk about the police department and the municipal court system. I'm kind of disturbed on the still stagnant status of the municipal court system. I think everyone up here knows that it's pretty much not working. One council member referred to it as a joke. It is a joke. And beyond just not working, it's also leading to problems potentially to civil rights, as far as we have officers knowingly who don't have to show. Mr. Perkins' office doesn't really put pressure on them to show. Therefore, you have officers who can write tickets that really don't mean anything to them because they know they're not held accountable for them. So almost leads to kind of lawlessness. That's just kind of disturbing. And the fact that also the status in the current, where the police department is right now, is it's just utterly embarrassing. I'm tired of picking up the paper and seeing officers arrested and indictments, things of that nature. It's just, it's becoming beyond an embarrassment. It's almost like you guys no longer care. It's just routine now for officers to be in trouble. It's not acceptable. Some of you on this council were born and raised in this city like myself. And for that to be acceptable, it just, it's
almost the reason I have to take an aspirin every day, because it's I don't get it anymore. This has gone on for well beyond at least 7 years. We know what this going on, and I no longer understand it. My last issue is with public safety here. We had a couple of chases. One chase, August 19, 2010, Michael Brown drove all around the city, blew through Love Field Airport. I don't know why that fence was so flimsy. I'm kind of just worried about the lackadaisical chase policy and drawdown in the sheriff's budget. It's kind of, we just had this chase in April. This young man drove from Siegelville in the downtown, back out to East Dallas, back in the downtown with an AK-47. Now, granted, nothing happened. No one got killed. But for the city to argue that it's safer for this stop to eventually happen at the West End station rather than somewhere, anywhere else with an AK-47, that's almost like gambling. You're flipping a coin, because he could have gotten out and it could have been a barrage of fire at the West End station. That's not acceptable. That's not what we pay you for. That's not public service. Coming from a former public servant, that's not acceptable.
Sir, thank you very much. Our next speaker.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Corey D. Green. Corey D. Green. Not present. Matthew Kemp. Mr. Kemp will be followed by Chris Horan, Tabitha Harper, Donna Harris, Donna C. W. Dottie, and Bruce Davenport. Sir, please state your name and address for the record.
Go ahead, proceed. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Matt Kemp. I live at 6915 Windy Ridge Drive in North Dallas, and I'm here to address a couple of issues today. I've lived in my home for over 30 years. I walk out the back door to Campbell Green Park, and in the last 12 months, I've watched the deterioration of this park, specifically on the issues that I have listed that are being passed out to you right now. And the first is the alcohol in the park. Working with the Parks Department and with the Police Department, we hope to be able to get that under control. And it's not just weekend alcohol. There's also a number of days during the week when this takes place, too. Number two, hate to bring this up. You may think it's a small matter, but the dog feces problem has really gotten out of control, and it's difficult for people to walk in the park, bring their dogs in anymore. And I've taken this upon myself to ask people to pick their dog poop up, and it's going nowhere. They know that there's an ordinance there. They know that the police cannot do anything about it. There is, like I said, there is an ordinance. There is a $100 fine. But unless the police see it, there's nothing that can be done. I have a few incidents that are listed there. In addition, it's the urination that's taking place in the park, and this is also not at night but in the daytime. Gang signs have showed up on the playgrounds now, and also the teen sex in the soccer bleachers. And this is not at night also. This is during the day. Finally, I have a map that I've included in there to show you. The Windy Ridge Drive Alley actually butts right up to the park, and due to all of these increased activities, it's increased the speed and number of vehicles within our alley, and we can no longer enter our alley the way we used to. With a minute to go, I would just like to address the solicitation, door-to-door solicitation that's been taking place. I understand that there are rules or guidelines that you're looking at trying to get past. Don't know if that's going to happen before the end of the year. However, in the meantime, we're stuck. I'll give you an example. I have three listed there, but the solicitors know
that they can come into your neighborhood, whether you have these signs up or not. They know that they can go to your door, whether your signs say no handbills, no soliciting, no trespassing, and they do, and they come right up to your windows, and the police have to observe this before anything can be done. I'd like to compliment the Dallas police. They think they do a very good job with some of these challenging issues. However, it makes it very difficult for homeowners. And I watched as my neighbor's home across the street was actually getting broken into by one of these door-to-door solicitors. So I'm not here just to complain. I also want to be part of the solution. And hopefully, I know my time's running out. I hope we can address the Dallas Morning News issue of them throwing newspapers that have not been sold because they've been ruining our streets for some time now. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
Your next speaker,
Mayor.
Yes, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Sir, would you please come visit with me when we're done here? We'll be done in a few minutes.
Yes.
Sure, Councilperson Grayson. I actually emailed you on May 1st and
no,
haven't heard anything back yet.
I did not get that, and I looked at your backup material, and it wasn't addressed to me. But I'll talk to you later about it.
The next speaker is Chris Heron. Mr. Heron will be followed by Tabitha Harper, Donna Harris, Donatha W. Dottie, and Bruce Davenport. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Chris Heron. I live at 1155 Templemore Drive in the Emerald Isle neighborhood. I'm the association president there, next to Winfrey Point. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for allowing me to address you this afternoon. Now that the Arboretum has acknowledged that the people of Dallas do not want parking at Winfrey Point, we hope that City Council and the Parks Department will also have come to the same conclusion. Volunteers in the Dallas Parks Department have worked over the last several years to protect and restore the natural areas at Winfrey. These natural areas are enjoyed by thousands of people and are home to a variety of animals and plants. Winfrey Point is a beautiful, serene setting in the middle of a sprawling urban landscape. It provides an escape from the city without ever leaving Dallas. Whether people visit Winfrey Point for bird watching or picnicking, for kite flying or meditation, it provides people with a tranquil retreat. What has gotten lost in the argument of invasive plants and pristine or non-pristine prairie is that Winfrey Point, as it currently exists today, is an incredibly valuable attraction for the city of Dallas. Thousands of people visit there every year, and this has nothing to do with the Arboretum. This has to do with Winfrey Point. Why should the people of Dallas give up such a valuable city treasure and turn it over to the exclusive benefit of a private institution? We love the Dallas Arboretum and recognize it has done wonderful things for Dallas. But we also recognize that it costs a minimum of $25 for one person to visit the Arboretum, $10 for parking, and $15 to enter the gate. It doesn't cost anything to visit Winfrey Point. With the Arboretum's projected growth, it is doubtful that once they establish a temporary parking base, they will easily give up that parking. The likely scenario is that temporary parking transitions into larger areas of temporary parking and eventually full-size improved parking lots. We've seen the plans. We don't begrudge the Arboretum their successes. In fact, many of us are Arboretum members. We do begrudge them trying to put their needs before the needs of the citizens of Dallas. It seems they now understand that this is not the way to move forward. We are concerned that the Dallas Parks Department is not protecting the people's resources. There are alternative parking solutions that can and should be explored. We would love the opportunity to work together to find a solution. The question that needs to be answered is whether or not we as citizens of Dallas value Winfrey Point for what it is and what it offers. It's a resource worth protecting, or do we derive a greater benefit by giving up our free natural areas at Winfrey Point to provide parking? The more than 8,000 people who have signed the Save Winfrey Point petition think that Winfrey Point is worth protecting. Read some of their comments to see why, and that's in the box that I distributed. Many comments in there about why the people do not want parking at Winfrey Point. We hope you will stand with us and also recognize the value that Winfrey Point provides to our great city. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I suggest, Ms. Harris here? I think she's speaking on Winfrey Point, too, and we'll let her speak.
Good.
Thank you. Is that all right?
That's great.
Madam Secretary?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. My name is Donna Harris. I live at 6939 Corning Lane, and I'm on the west side of the lake. and a lake user. First of all, I'd say, like to say thank you to Mayor Mike, Neighbor Sheffy, Mary at the Arboretum, and Paul Dyer for making this decision. I know it was not an easy decision to make because ultimately it was a financial decision for them, but we really appreciate it, but it was the right decision. This concession is just the beginning of much work that needs to be done in regards to how we go forward in managing our lands, our environment, visitors, our cultural amenities in Dallas, our residents' right to public use of land that is supposed to be funded through property taxes by all citizens of Dallas, and ultimately the revitalization of Garland Road, which I think we all want in East Dallas. We hope going forward important issues regarding the Arboretum will be open to honest discussion with leadership surrounding the neighborhood. As a Lakewood resident, what happens around East Dallas side affects our side too in regards to noise, trash, car honking, door slamming, and everything else associated with a squeaky parking lot and concrete. Our visual perspective on the west side is different from the east side, but it's all gorgeous. Garland Road leads directly to Fair Park, and with stakeholders' investment and all the talk about growing South Dallas, one would say that Garland Road and Fair Park is the gateway toward a new Dallas, and we would like good cooperation with our neighborhoods because ultimately it's what's going to benefit South Dallas.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Cadane?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Okay, first I've got to thank Mr. Heron and your neighborhood association for all the work you've done on this matter. And your hard work has really paid off. Thank you so much for getting out and doing what you did. And we do, and we are going to, and we will be having future discussions on parking. We're going to find out where else we can park, find alternate places and methods of parking. And thank you also, Ms. Harris, for coming forward for the other side. I mean, it's been coming from all sides, and we don't want concrete in at the lake. And I agree with all of you on what you're doing and how you've done a great job in the way you've done it and come forward with this. And you can see the result. There will not be any parking over there. And I appreciate the Arboretum for coming forward. And they've come forward. They're working with us. They're not parking there, and they're not mowing over there. So thank you to the Arboretum. We have two great signature parks there, White Rock Lake and the Arboretum. And I like to see us working in conjunction for the betterment of the entire area. And that apparently is what's happening right now. So, and I want more transparency, and I want more the things that are going to happen. Let's see them. Show them to all of us. And then let's move forward together. Thank you guys for being here, each and every one of you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Ms. Davis?
Thank you so much, Chef. I'm glad to hear that, because I do agree with you. I think we need to reserve its natural beauty over there. And so whatever you come up with your constituent in that community, I will be supporting you. I don't support the parking at this time, but I just think we need to reserve all the natural beauty over in the White Rock area as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway?
Thank you, Mayor. And it's maybe not necessary for me to weigh in on this at this time, but I want to be fair and open, and I don't want folks to leave here with all of the thoughts that we're faced with. Number one, also I understand the neighborhood. I also understand the fact that we have the Arboretum there at White Rock Lake, just as we have the Fair Park over in South Dallas. Folks come from all over the world. There's an exhibit there now that folks are coming all over the world to see both day and night at the Arboretum. One thing that I would ask you all to do, I'm very sensitive to the neighborhoods, but I want us to remain extremely open-minded. Parking for the Arboretum is going to have to be somewhere. That's number one. Maybe not at that point, but to the neighborhood that's here, have an open mind that we have a responsibility to make sure that the Arboretum is safe, beautiful, and vibrant, We also must respect the community, the neighborhood, and the desires and the wishes of the neighborhood. So we kind of got a cross going here. And maybe that particular area that we're talking about now may not be the area, but stay open, because we must find an area that will benefit both the neighborhood and the Arboretum. So it's going to have to be a compromise. I want you all to know that. I support Sheffy wholeheartedly, and I want you all to know that I would like to be a part of it, but I want you to know that because it is proposed in one place, it does not necessarily mean that it will not happen. It may happen, but it has to happen somewhere. Now, where is it somewhere? I don't know. But we collectively, as your council member, Mr. Cadane, the park department, and this neighborhood must come together and find some type of solution, because the Arboretum is growing. And we, the citizens and taxpayers, we've been and will be going through this budget cycle. We'll be throwing some more monies in to keep the Arboretum vibrant as it relates to the city's portion of our responsibility. And we can't just continue to throw out money if indeed it's growing and we don't accommodate. So I'm only speaking to say that I understand this concern, that I want you all to know, participate, stay open, let's figure out a way. But a way must be figured out, and Sheffy is going to get to working that out, and we're going to be very supportive, and it's going to be worked through with the neighborhood and the Arboretum on behalf of what's best for Dallas. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Carraway. Ms. Hunt?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, thanks to everyone who came down to speak today and for your hard work throughout the last few weeks. And thanks to Sheffy for your leadership and work on this. This is in Sheffy's district, but District 14, the district I represent, is right next door, and so many of my constituents care so much about this. We have one in the audience, at least. The unfortunate thing about what's happened to me is that this issue touches on three incredible assets in the city of Dallas. One is the Arboretum. I think we all agree the Arboretum is one of the best in the country and probably one of the best in the world. It is an incredible, incredible venue. Secondly, White Rock Lake. There's nothing else in Dallas or North Texas that I know of that has the same feeling as White Rock Lake and the same incredible support from residents as White Rock Lake. But third is the neighborhoods surrounding this community in the White Rock Lake and Arboretum area that worked so hard to make these assets what they are. And I hate to see the tension among those three points. So in moving forward, I appreciate where Mr. Cadane is taking this. We need more transparency. I think better communication could have cut this off at the pass. And so as we move forward, we commit to you that you will see greater transparency, greater communication, and a thoughtful way to work through this so that all three parts of our incredible community, the neighborhoods, White Rock Lake, and the Arboretum, come out happy, and that we don't benefit one at the expense of the other. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins?
Thank you, Mayor. Also, thank you, Sheffy, you know, for your patience and for your communication with the resident and the community. I agree with Angela, with White Rock, the Arboretum, the neighborhood. There is going to come to the time that we are going to have additional parking because the Arboretum is growing. There are going to be more people coming to White Rock Lake. And I understand you want to protect your neighborhood. But I also hope you find the words in your neighborhood, and sometimes you might have to compromise sometimes. And when do you compromise? When you do not compromise, that's up to the community of your neighborhood to work with those three partnerships. That's which is a state of Dallas asset. And I appreciate you coming down today and talking about caring for your neighborhood, but also keep open mind is that wherever the parking is necessary in the community, to visit the White Rock Lake, the Arboretum, in your neighborhood, that We do have a problem with parking. We always will have a problem with parking if we're going to grow. So have your community to get with Shepherd and Angela Hunt to work out a long-term plan. I think today, maybe tomorrow, is a short-term plan, Angela. But if our rhythm keep growing and the children's garden keep growing and the White Rock get more improving, you are going to have a long-term issue. And I believe the dollars are going to grow and your neighborhood is going to grow. But make sure you just get back together with all three groups. And also, what is Paul Dyer? Come forward, please. And Paul, not to put you on the spot, and I know it was a hard transition. And I know I called you last week. You was 150 miles away from Dallas, and I think the temperature's gonna come down a little bit. But Paul, I wish that with White Rock Lake, the Arboretum in the community, not one part of the community in White Rock, but all part of the community, to get together with the community and find out what is our long-term plan. I know we got a short-term plan, but what is our long-term plan 10, 15, 20 years down the road? We are going to have a difficult parking because the Arboretum is going to grow and the White Rock Lake is going to grow. So I know you'll be a man of your word. You'll make sure your park department and your committees get together and make sure that this situation will not come up again. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Ms. Davis?
Yes. Paul, can you come back? Can you come back? I have one question I want to ask you. Would you guys also be looking at considering underground parking as well?
We've been looking at a number of options in parking. In fact, this is part of the study that is ongoing, and this study will be going on for some time to come. And the solutions that we've looked at do include above-ground parking, below-ground parking. One thing we did summarily dismiss, and it never got out, but there was an option, or not an option, there was a plan that looked at a number of different things on Winfrey Point, one of which was underground and above-grade parking. We summarily dismissed those early on, but that got out as being one of the plans. But anytime you have a planning process, you always look at every option available, and the consultants are charged with coming up with good options. But at some point, as many of you said, there's so many things to look at in the area. We may have to come up with something that might include structured parking, underground, above-ground, more surface lots along Garland. There's so many options to look at this point. We're not even close to coming to closure on that.
Will there be community meetings involved in any of this? Will the community will have
absolutely meetings? When we finish the consulting process, we come up with some viable options, then we'll engage the community. We have not even gotten to that point. And so the issue with the temporary parking brought this to a head earlier than we had anticipated, and we weren't even prepared to have come forth with a recommendation at this point.
Okay, so what is the plan now at this point?
To continue planning and looking at options.
And then when will the community get, I guess, when will the community start working with its council members for those meetings?
When we can come up with some solutions that appear to be viable at that point, then we'll start talking to the White Rock Lake Task Force, which we always engage. And that task force was named back in the 80s as a representation of that community, and they are the ones that we look to help us guide us through these processes.
So you're saying that the task force is made up of community people
yes,
only?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and so they are in charge of looking at above or underground parking?
That task force was put together in the 80s because there's so many different neighborhoods around White Rock Lake, and it is such a large area that involves all the citizens coming into those neighborhoods that we formed the task force to be the sounding board for the community so we could have a mechanism.
Let me ask this question. You said it was put together in the 80s. That's been about 30 years ago.
Correct.
So, Sheffy, are you looking at new task force members coming on since the task force was done in the 80s? Are these same people still on the task force?
Oh, out at White Rock?
Uh-huh.
These are neighborhood association presidents, members. It's kind of an open task force, and they can anybody can really come out to that task force, and it's led by the our district board member for the park board, and you know it's good for them.
Excuse me.
The,
Mr. Cadena.
Okay. And so these folks can come out, they can talk, they can bring their suggestions, and everything that happens at that lake goes through that task force, I believe, doesn't it, Paul?
Yeah. We've already met with them on this issue.
Yeah, so it's not really a set group. It's the entire neighborhood that's around that lake.
Let me ask this, and Chef, thank you for just letting me talk about your district. what about the individuals that are here? Can they be a part of coming to the meeting?
Anybody that wants to attend the meetings, and again, the task force was put together because it's such a large piece of property, the lake itself. And so in order to get some semblance of representation, we've asked that the citizens, we joined with them in the 80s to come up with a task force.
What do they meet at, Paul?
They meet at Winfrey Point. They meet at different places around the lake. And then they meet routinely.
Okay, so if individuals want to come to
the make sure the word gets out so that a lot more people know about it. But again, we try to get a representative body because if we have 500 people, it's not a good planning body. We need someone that represents each homeowners association, and that's how we...
You might can answer this. I'm just trying to figure out if you have people who are concerned about what's going on, how can they come to the meeting? That's all I'm asking.
What I would do is have them call the Parks Department office, say, how do I give my point of view in an organized fashion? It's Paul's job to kind of organize it with Mr. Cadena and make sure that they're part of this process.
That's all I'm asking. For those who have concerns, how can they...
Oh, absolutely. It's not meant to be exclusive. It's just meant to be functional.
So, Paul, for those individuals who want to come to the meeting, how do they get to you to get to the meeting?
If they'll call and let us know, we'll tell them when the task force meetings are and also tell them who their particular representative is. 214-670-4071. That's my office number.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Allen.
Hey, Paul. I think, obviously, White Rock Lake, Fair Park, two of the great jewels that we have in this city, and they belong to the whole city at the end of the day. Perhaps one of the best things that's come out of this, is really just the attention, too, that's been able to bring to this. What an asset that we have. What an asset that we have in White Rock and Fair Park is an incredible asset. And as we do this and as you plan for the future, there's so many opportunities that are available, and this goes back to even the density. We talk about the neighborhoods that are out there and all the ones that are there. I've been lucky enough to travel around a little bit, and I see the cities like Vancouver and some of the other really world cities that have been able to take great parks that have high density that are around them and just create this excitement but still leave the nature intact. And the kids are out there just playing, having a great time. Families are out there with them. They're out riding their bikes, roller skating, doing hiking, doing all of these things. They have water activities also. So just let that be your vision as you do this and as you move this forward to capture all the great things that are coming from these other cities and what they've done. It's such an opportunity that we have to grow this and bring together the citizens along with the Parks Department and to continue to grow it, because it is, they're great, great, great assets.
Great points. There is density. This is one of the most densely used pieces of parkland we have in our system, and the balance of that density coupled with protecting the neighbors that live around the area is a very difficult process. Like Mr. Caraway said it so well, it's a compromise and one that is not always easy to achieve, but we're always working toward that direction.
You know, bring in the finest experts and get with the citizens and then create that excitement, because again, it's not about a parking lot. I don't think you guys are ever going to put one there. But bring in the experts and just create this excitement about what we can do and how exciting this can be, and show the examples of some of the excitement. Something as simple as just little some water fountain activities that I was able to see, and the kids were just having a blast. We're just
almost like a water hose, and the kids and the parents were having fun. But create that excitement, and then continue to just have that vision to really make it world class.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Thank you, Mr. Dyer. You spoke for your citizens well. I was up in Lake Highlands the other night, and that's what they were saying as well. So I think it's important. One of the big learnings for me is this is not about Winfrey Point. This is about a lot of parts in town that were growing. We saw the article in the paper this morning about Bishop Arts. I know Ms. Hunt's got St. Thomas, you know, and the growth there, and Lower Greenville. We're learning how to grow and keep neighborhoods active, and so the process is so important across this whole city as we think about it, to make sure that we care for the neighborhoods, but we think about us as a whole city, and I know we'll find a solution. Thank you, Ms. Rios. Next speaker.
Your next speaker is Tabitha Harper. Ms. Harper will be followed by Dorothy W. Doughty, Bruce Davenport, Zumba Lunk, Robert Ciccarelli, Richard P. Sheridan, LaCoya Linden, William Hopkins, Otis Fagan, Tina Trish, Lakeisha Johnson, and Marvin Crenshaw. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tabitha Harper. I live at 5610 Burr Street in District 7. I have a statement signed by 21 business owners in that district, actually from Pine and Malcolm X all the way to Hatcher and Malcolm X. I am here on the behalf of the businesses on Malcolm X. We are here to voice our concerns and outrage concerning the incident on Sunday. We feel that for far too long our voices have been silent to issues that directly affect our businesses. We also feel like Sunday was more about politics and publicity than true concerns for us. It reflected a negative light upon our business district. The news media was told that we complained when in fact we did no such thing. And to further prove that point, I have the 21 business owners from Pine and Malcolm X and Hatrick and Malcolm X who have signed saying they did no such thing. Business owners were standing outside in awe. We feel that our representative of District 7 has represented us without her in our voice first. We have never met with her, but she speaks for us. Business owners did not even know her name until then. My colleague, Antong Lucky, requested a meeting with her, and she never showed. We are very aware of the everyday routines of our neighborhood. We do affect of our neighborhood. We do effectively that everything must be in decent and in order, and you have to first meet with us to know what we need. The police often cause more harm than good for our businesses. Neither has a representative from the Southeast Division Police Department or any other part of the police department met with us or come to ask us our views and concerns. We do know that the Dallas Police Gang Unit has a rapport with the members of our community, and we do feel at ease with them. But the officers on our beat are mostly Caucasians and seen as if they don't even care. There is more harassment than care. We also feel that we are the forgotten ones, as if Malcolm X is only a throwaway to the other parts of South Dallas. We have mostly minority-owned business. The lifespan of a business on Malcolm X is 1 year. We are as sure that in the next 5 to 10 years that our business will either be bought out by the city or forced out by minute code infractions. Our business owners are mostly young and are in need of the city help and support for longevity. There are a lot of good things happening on Malcolm X, but are not known to the city because we are always viewed by the media as the slums. Our sector of South Dallas does not look as appealing as other parts are becoming, but our funding also reflects that. We are asking for a town hall meeting with our District 7 council member, a member of the Dallas Police Department, and our mayor to address the constant police harassment, the lack of support by our council member, available resources for new businesses and established businesses, a partnership between the businesses in our sector and the South Dallas Development Association, to name a few.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Ms. Davis?
Thank you so much. I did talk to you on yesterday, and I advised her to come down, did I not, to express her concern. Now, let me say how all of this got started. 2 Sundays ago at Malcolm X, it starts from the park, Rochester Park, and this goes on every year. Starting from Rochester Park, all the way from Patrick to Malcolm X, all the way up to Martin Luther King. Chief Tato, can you come forward, please? I'm going to ask the speaker, Chief Tato. Thank you
okay.
So much.
I don't know that I am allowed to respond to you.
No.
If she asks a question, you are. Why don't you just sit right there in case she asks a question? Thank you.
And so last Sunday, we had to do a lot to deal with this. Traffic is jammed starting around 3 o'clock, and I have pictures on my flip phone, and I have I showed the pictures to Chief Brown, and he has copies of the pictures. And the traffic is jammed from Malcolm X all the way to Martin Luther King. Now, in the middle of Malcolm and Martin Luther King, they had taken their cars going round and round and around in circles, spinning, I guess, smoke from the tires in the middle of the street. And I have the pictures to show that. Then at the car wash on Martin Luther King, while I'm with my flip phone, just walking, they're smoking weed. They got the weed bags out, and the pictures just reflect all the stuff that's going on. Now, I have a letter here from a number of neighborhood groups. One of them is from the South Boulevard Historical District. It says this: the car cruising has become an increasing nuisance in the Fair Park area. It includes a list of concerns: loud engine noise that can be heard from Martin Luther King while into the neighborhood. Traveling to and from local business are a challenge. Ridiculous traffic. Increasing number of people walking the neighborhood during the evening and late hours. Loud boombox music. Lots of bass. You can hear it while you're in your home in the neighborhood. This comes from the South Boulevard Park Road. The other one comes from the Queen City Neighborhood Group. They're saying that this one lady texted me and said it took her over 30 minutes just to get to her house. Then she attached pictures of some things that she saw. She also got a picture where this guy just unzipped his pants, decided to go on side of the building and do his business. It's on picture. Now, Chief Tato, can you tell me about some of the other problems that's going on?
Well, we learned some things out there Sunday from the things that we saw and some of the pictures that you showed, Chief Brown, and we responded to that was our initial look at it. We're going to revise how we do things. That we have received some complaints from citizens who were there about the response that officers did, how they were treated by officers. I have some specific incidents, and I'm going to have those reviewed. I'm going to get back to you about the follow-up on those.
And those individuals came to me. I took them to the chief that some of them was treated unfairly. And we are dealing with that problem. I want no citizen to be treated unfairly. But I would not back down from what they call car cruising starting at 3 o'clock in our neighborhood. It would not be held as a part of, let's go to South Dallas and cruise on Sunday. Let's go to South Dallas and jam up the traffic. Let's go to South Dallas because you can do anything you want to in South Dallas. I support wholesome business in that neighborhood. I support businesses in that neighborhood. But at the cost of just shutting down the whole neighborhood, no, I don't. And no, I will not do that. And I'm willing to meet with you guys. I told her to come down and let's meet with Chief Brown. I told you we would have a one-on-one meeting with Chief Brown. Did I not tell you that? Did you not call me?
Ms. Davis.
Come on, you can respond.
No, it is. It's not so much of what's going on Sundays. We have never met her. I have 21 businesses that don't even know her. What we were concerned about, as we watched the news,
She asked you a question.
No.
Thank you.
Okay, that's okay. You didn't call me. I got it on
I'm
record.
Not saying, I did call her.
Okay.
But to meet with us, she has done enough stuff. She's not even came out.
We're not doing Judge Judy here.
Well, I'm not going to judge you. I will meet with you. Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, Chief Tato, come on back up.
Mayor Rollins, she does not represent us.
Okay.
I have four businesses. I've never mentioned her.
Okay.
Ms. Davis.
Well, can I at least give you the 21 business owners that say the same thing?
Ma'am, I appreciate it. Please have a seat. Thank you.
So and I'll take them. Let me have them.
Please give it to her. Give it to this lady.
We actually don't trust her.
Okay. Ms. Davis. Thank you. Let's we're moving on to the next speaker, Ms. Davis. Thank you.
Okay.
Next speaker.
Your next speaker will be Donathy Doty, followed by Bruce Davenport.
Please let's be respectful to all speakers. Thank you.
Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Bruce Davenport. I live at 4717 Columbia Avenue, apartment 101. And I moved back here after living here more than 30 years ago, joining the United States Army. I served honorably, rotated out as a non-commissioned officer. My last profession was a reconnaissance specialist. Now, since the time I moved to that neighborhood, a little more than a year ago, I've been subjected to open intimidation, threats by the police, not all the police, but some of the officers, and some of your civilian personnel that work for your police department. At this time, my wife and I cannot and will not trust any officer that comes to my door. And we are planning to move out as soon as I get a final evaluation by the Veterans Administration for 100% disability. We're going to move back to Oklahoma.
Thank you.
Donathy Doty? Not present. Ozambalan? Not present.
No, he's here.
My God.
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Chief of Minnesota Zumalong. Man, don't turn my mic off like you did a week before that. You know, we don't have any liberty and justice. Not true like you have, Merrill. On the 12th of December, Dart police assaulted me the last time they assaulted me. They assaulted me three times in the last 2 years. You know, we don't have any liberty and justice. You know, and actually, like I told you, Mayor, the county, the city, and Dart owe me $1 million. You want to put your hands on me, you don't put no charges on me. I'm tired of you. Like I said, I'm not a contortionist. I'm not being contorted, you know. And I'm sick of you, man, the way you treat me. You don't go treat me like it. Had I been a white man, you never would have done this to me. So, you know, I want to get paid. So you want to put your hands on me, and I'm going to tell you what I want for you putting your hands on me. So I got $3 million coming to me. So y'all need to pay me, Merrill. I need my money back. I'm going to help some homeless people. We got a party we want to have and everything, you know, and stuff like that. And then we're going to build a church and everything, you know what I'm trying to say. But anyway, I was assaulted in 2004 by these young boys that, you know, robbed my son, you know, and then they came after me. My son was gone about 3 years, you understand me? The guy that pointed a gun at me, y'all never did nothing about it. Y'all swept it under the rug. But you charged me with deadly assault the next weekend when he came back messing with me. Man, why are you trying to make me a criminal? Not a criminal, Merrill. Crooked police, crooked constable. Mike Dupree, you heard of Mike Dupree, crooked man. I got the newspaper. He can get him for slam. He can't get all in the newspaper. You know that fruit juice drink he gave a little boy? I went to Mike. Mike said, hey, come by, I want to talk, but I'm in between something. Yeah, I went up to his house. You know what he did? Try to give me a fruit drink, but I don't drink food, and I don't eat stuff he give me. You know what? I guess I'd have woke up anyway. But anyway, you know, Jay Albert worked with Darts, you know. Mr. Albert, he assaulted me, police officer assaulted me. And, you know, I got stopped for a red light down there. I'm almost three steps and getting up on the curb. And, you know, and my son, he's in 10, been there 12 years. Mike Dupree set him up. 12 years. The boy that just like I said, sent my son to the pen, he come back and point a gun at me. Nothing was done. You know, blacks, so-called American Negro are not ignorant. I remember the 50s were better, the 60s were better, the 70s were better. I talk to a lot of homeless people, a lot of poor people out there in America. It's not what a lot of white people think it is. You understand me? You got blacks that love whites. You got blacks that are afraid of whites. And you got blacks that are getting along. So we need to get together. I think the black man and the white man should be shoulder to shoulder. You brought us over here with you, man. For wherever you came from, Britain and everything, to slave. You know, and I'm saying, man, we need to come on with it, man. Is it bad? I don't know what to tell my grandkids. I might tell them the truth is the light. But it's not right, well, I'm not satisfied, and I guess I'll be here. My son's still in pen. 12 years, somebody didn't do. The guns that he only went to pen, I was told, because they couldn't find the gun. The guy sold them on the street. Poor investigation, no investigation. I'm a private investigator. I got out that guy and started talking to the police and all. Boy, your son was set up. Your son was supposed to die. Mike Dupree and him did it. Peace officer, who I had my problem with the way I swept her on the rug. I thought about Big and Tupac after that. I thought about Big, if they believe L.A. police, them be at that. But you know, I got to thank it.
Thank you, Mr. Lund.
Why would you take that drug deal against me, man? Why you do me like that?
Your next speakers will be Robert Ceccarelli, followed by Richard Sheridan, LaCoya Johnson, William Hopkins.
No, Richard Sheridan.
Robert Ceccarelli.
No.
Not present. Richard Sheridan.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Richard Sheridan, live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. That is a tough act to follow, that's for sure. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. Yes, excuse me. I've been guilty of it myself. A homeless economic development program. Name is Richard Sheridan, 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. One can be effective for just so long. Alone. One can be a John the Baptist, and there's many of them out there, crying in the wilderness just so long. Then there comes a time for change, for a turning point or points, which is related in the great 60s song by the Byrds. Turn, 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 whose verses come from Ecclesiastes. I've just joined First Presbyterian Church of Dallas. For over 150 years, First Presbyterian has been serving the poor and homeless of Dallas. For about 30 years, its teapot has fed hundreds of thousands, if not in the millions, of homeless and provided dental and health care. As far as I know, First Presbyterian of Dallas has done more for the homeless than any other church in Dallas. I may be wrong. Maybe they're rated in the top three. Responding as best possible to Matthew 25, whoever serves the least of me serves the Lord. I've just spoken to Pastor Clifford about the following. To best serve our homeless today, we must create some kind of a homeless economic development program. This program should consider a couple of major items. Number one, fruit and vegetable pushcarts. There was a great show on KERA over the weekend. It talked about poor communities in New York, poor communities throughout the United States who have very bad diets, suffer from obesity, suffer from diabetes. A lot of poor health comes from poor diets. And as we've talked, and the council members have been complaining, black council members complaining about the lack of supermarkets in the southern sector, well, fruits and vegetables, good healthy food, and whether it's the homeless or jobless, it sure makes sense. New York just, I think, pushed this forward to have push carts throughout poor neighborhoods in the New York area. The immigrants that first came to the United States, the quickest way for them to earn a living was to get out there with a pushcart. In the Depression, they sold apples. Secondly, initiate a homeless conservation corps. Article in the Morning News today, an overflowing bucket list. I quote, "There's an exceedingly depressing task I have to complete every month as a person who compiles this newspaper's monthly 10 drops in the bucket list. It involves driving up and down streets all over southern Dallas, surveying vast, decaying areas, and trying to decide among the worst to be included in 10 drops. In all of Dallas, there are 4,380 such dilapidated homes, 1861, which are in Fair Park, West Dallas, and East Oak Cliff areas. By dilapidated, I don't just mean the house with a few broken windows or a wobbly porch. So basically, we can employ the homeless, 3,000 or 4,000 of them. They can get out there, clean up the neighborhood in a brigade, in a wave, and see a dramatic change week to week. And the money can come from the wealthy or keep the change for the homeless. Be good economic development plan and increase property values. Thank you very much."
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan.
LaCoya, London. Hello, I'm LaCoya London, 1716 Chattanooga Place, Apartment 1228, Dallas. Okay, well, I'm here still about, well, right now I'm going to start out with the ISD. I mean, how wasteful spending. Since we've been talking about wasteful spending through the president, let's talk about it through the ISD. Okay, they want to get people from Spain to come here to teach the ESL kids, and that's money that's being wasted. You're closing schools, but you're going to go all the way to Latin America to get to teachers? Come on, that don't make any sense. I mean, doesn't Mr. Atkins? You know, you talk about the choices. I think they're making bad choices. They're going to go all across the country to get some people to teach Spanish. English access to Spanish kids. That's what ESL really supposed to be. You're supposed to be teaching the Spanish kids English. You know, this is the United States. You know, my point is, why are we wasting money? We have people here that actually can teach the kids in the ESL classes. We have people already here. This is not even an issue that they should even be thinking about doing again. I mean, Hinojosa started that. They went and wasted all that money sending all these people. We really spending money to bring them here. Bought them housing, gave them everything, you know, when they brought them here. You know, and a salary. But you want to fire teachers. And really, I really think they should close down the DISD police department. What is it for? It's not of use. It's not even, it ain't like the kids really listen to them. You know, they listen to the Dallas police and the Dallas Sheriff Department, even the DART police. They listen to them more than they listen to the DISD police. So why wouldn't they think, whoever the budget people are, why won't they think and just close down the DISD police department? Sell the vehicles, and there's some money right there. You know, maybe we need to vote, y'all need to vote for the Dallas Police Department to be back in the school. They was there when I was there. I went to South Oak Cliff. Ms. Caraway, I went to South Oak Cliff, graduated in 1994. You know, I was an athlete, great athlete, you know. But my point is, I mean, let's do it right. You know, that's what they need to close down, the DISD Police Department. I'd rather see a police officer fired than a teacher. Because they can go join the Dallas Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, or the DART. And then maybe come back into the school system. Maybe that's a debt that's eliminated. You think so? I mean, whoever the budget people is, they might need to call me so I can, you know, give them a brain. Because I think I have a pretty good brain. They ain't got none, you know. They looking at politics and money. Let's do it right. How are you going to help our kids, you know, become educated? It ain't going to be by making it a prison system or a jail, little jail, mini jail. Because, hey, y'all seen Village Fair? Okay. I hope Mr. Miles, when he come in, go look at Village Fair, because it is a real joke to the kids. You know, they go there, they don't even get tested sometimes. They go there and have fun. They can't wait to go back again. So that's really what they need to be looking at, Village Fair. You know, if you're going to solve an issue with DISD, let's start at Village Fair, because it's not an alternative school like it's supposed to be.
Thank you.
William Hawkins.
My name is William Hawkins. She was talking about DISD, Mayor Rollins. I spoke at DISD the last school board meeting, and while I was there, a lady named Ms. Robinson, She was saying her kid was getting bullied. They was beating her kid up, and they was chasing her home and following her around. She called the Dallas police. They didn't do nothing. And she told the school and the school board. They just sit there, just like the Dallas City Council. They sit there and never said nothing to this lady. Her name was Miss Robinson. She was almost crying, telling about her child was getting beat up and bullied at school, and they following her child around, and she had to go everywhere with her child, and she just went on and on and on, and nobody said nothing. Nobody said not one word at the school board. Then they come in with this superintendent. They waited till he was the finalist. He was the only one left, Merle Rollins. And then they go to wherever he's from, and then check his record, and he was the only one left. He was the finalist. So then they come back and tell us, oh, everything was fine, and he was this and he was that. Of course they would have to say that, because he was the finalist. He was the only one left. And they have spent all this money, gave him $300-some thousand, and the school is pitiful. DISD is pitiful. You call Charles Cato up here to help about South Dallas. Charles Cato left the kid in the school that robbed my son with a hunting knife. Now you got him up here playing like he care about our children. He don't care nothing about our children. I don't know about the whites, but I know the blacks and Hispanics. Charles Cato don't care nothing about the children in the DISD. You call him up here all the time, and I asked him to help me. I asked Sergeant Anderson. He told Sergeant Anderson, take William and do this. Sergeant Anderson brought a white man about 2 weeks ago to tell me that the Dallas police, William, we don't investigate each other. He couldn't even tell me about him being black. He brought some white man to tell me that the police can't help me with my son that got robbed. And then I got Gabriel Bates, 11 years old, raped. He said he raped a 3-year-old over at Meyer Hoyt. They take this little 11-year-old out of special ed. You don't know nothing about this, Mr. Rollins. Gabriel was 11 years old. Take him out of special ed at Meyer Hoyt. Take him and tell him that if you tell us this story, we're going to take you to McDonald's, and then you can go home with your mama. So they talked him into telling them that he raped a 3-year-old child. So they took him to McDonald's, and he'd been in prison 13 years. He just come home about a month ago. I go to the court at the juvenile home, Henry Wade, Ku Klux Klan, Henry Wade. I take him the thing from the Children's Medical Center. What, the child wasn't raped, the 3-year-old that he spent 13 years in prison for? I took the judge the sexual assault test from Children's Medical Center. The child wasn't touched, she was fine. They sent this child to prison for 13 years. 11 years old, nobody said nothing. Ain't nobody gonna say nothing now. You know, when the white people come, everybody spoke. Miss Grayson spoke. Allen spoke, Dwayne Carraway spoke, when the white people come. But the blacks, don't nobody say nothing. Media gone, the Ku Klux Klan media, all them leave.
Thank you.
Otis Fagan? Not present. Trina Trish?
Good afternoon, Minister Trina Trish, Dallas, Texas. Let me begin by saying I love Dallas PD. I think they are the greatest. I was dropped off by DART at 8th and Corinth the other day, about late, about 1 in the morning, and walked all the way downtown because I didn't know that it wouldn't take me back where I belong without fear. They are the greatest, and I'm tired of telling people that. Nevertheless, let me say I'm speaking about health and safety. The health and safety of any community is at risk when you have government and business oppressing people through illegal activities and using their power and authority to abuse what they should use to help uplift people. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the raises or bribes or whatever you want to call it given to Ms. Sunum and Mr. Perkins, two people who are responsible for the state of the economy right now. Raising property taxes to stimulate the economy. We said, okay, that's not good. An abundance of low bidders. When I bring up QBS, quality-based system, that will take politics out of hiring hiring contractors, all of a sudden now we got a big old problem, because those people that pad your pockets now, and then after you give them the contract, they come back and ask for more money. What's happening? You won't be able to do that anymore. So now we have some man coming talking about 12 million people, how many can vote that support Ms. Sum and Mr. Perkins? What about the city and the work that they can do in the place of these contractors that you're giving these jobs to? Lawsuits and settlements, any person can come and see how many we have and we have to settle, and here you go giving Mr. Perkins a raise. Again, that's called bribery. I hear you. We done found money all of a sudden today to give city employees money and raises that'll be happening next month. Where it came from? How did it come today? Santa Claus came to town? You don't hear what I'm saying. Contractors, maintenance, pedestrian bridge, different things that our workers can do to earn money legitimately. This is my certificate of registration for a work that I've done, intellectual property, my Billie Jean that I call it, that I can sell for $1.5 million. Thing. This was published in 1993. I came here with money. I ain't broke. It just wasn't liquidated. Don't think God ain't gonna take care of me. Next, you see on this paper that I have health and safety as my open mic. 14, 15, 18, 23, and 4 before the vote for the consent agenda. That is illegal. That violates the law. Mr. Rawlings and Mr. Perkins, you both know it and didn't do anything about it. I can guarantee you as sure as Congressman William Jefferson went to jail this week, you all will go to jail, and you won't have big money friends to pay for you to get out. God bless y'all.
Lakeisha Johnson.
I live at 1716 Chattanooga Place. I'm here by a kid. I wonder why somebody up there wants to step up for our kids. I keep getting this, I'm trying to get this. I think we say I got a disability. Y'all didn't just tell me anything, and then I'm gonna go sit down and be quiet. No, I'm graduating, and I'm going to college. So I'm not somebody to do it to, because when I hear, they're talking to me all the time. I'm not dumb. I have a disability. I'm not stupid. And I know what's wrong. And from y'all won't send it for the kid with the illegal school crossing. It's illegal. They were messed up. Well, I can't send it for our kids. It don't make no sense. But it was school because they out here. It's not much school because we closed. That ain't cool. Well, y'all don't want our kids to get no education. That's what I feel. Thank God I didn't grow up with daddy. Thank God where I was going, wasn't no school being closed. You didn't hear about no school being closed because no budget. Because y'all, people out here stealing money so the kids got the silver. Because people want to steal money. They ain't feel what was the rainy day fund. Where it go? Y'all can't pull that out to save the school? Come on now. I'm not stupid. I have a disability. And I'm not retarded. I won't put that on blame. I'm not retarded. I have a disability. See, that is different than me, stupid and retarded. And I'm not gonna get one. And I play a job in games. And y'all really care about our kids, Mr. Man, you would get up and stand up and tell them this is illegal, like them right there. This is too many stupid girls at one time. There was somebody running that school. And the school that my child goes to is one of the top running that school. One of the top running that school that's being closed and guys. This ain't been on the list. And y'all come out, and one of them kids, Orange Grove is awful poor. Awful poor. But, like I said, I get along good with the kids.
Marvin Crenshaw.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not present.
Ms. L., you want to move for adjournment?
I want to say something before
Oh, I'm sorry, you do want to say it.
Yeah, no, but it was, I thought you were saying that responding to that. Yeah. No, thank you for the opportunity.
You, ma'am, you're supposed to have signed up. Okay. You know what? Thank you. Please come forward. Okay. Just to clarify, though, how did we screw that up?
What?
Oh, I'm not asking you. I'm not asking you. Just hold on.
If I may please clarify.
Just hold on, hold on, hold on.
What happens is that before the afternoon session comes up, which is all the public hearings, we ask the public if anyone is going to speak on a public hearing item. So at that point in time, anybody that indicates that they are, they're going to come in and go ahead and do the, you know, they fill out the card, and then we know that there's certain people are going to come up. What happened is when I called those that would want to speak on a specific public hearing, we request those that speak in opposition or in favor, and there were no other speakers
so,
that came
so
up.
So you signed up for the public hearing part and not for today? I mean, not for this. We got it. We understand how it's screwed up, okay? Because you, just for the future, you need to kind of sign up what the day before to that. Please, take the mic, and the mic's yours.
If you would please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Carol Bell Walton. My address is 6705 Lasco Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75214. I'm a little intimidated speaking up here, so bear with me, but y'all have your work cut out for you, and I respect all the hard work that you do on behalf of the city of Dallas. It's obvious there's a lot of racial tension and a lot of problems in the city, and I tell you one place we don't find racial tension, and that is White Rock Park. I promise you that all of your constituents use White Rock Park. White Rock Park, you could go there, you will find black people, you will find brown people, you will find white people, you will find the whole rainbow of citizens enjoying that park. So let's not make this a neighborhood issue where the rich neighborhoods surrounding White Rock Park don't want the city to grow. We want to preserve White Rock Park for all the citizens of Dallas. But where does that leave us? Winfrey Point, that looked like that was going on for a year, the negotiations, the meetings, and I guess that wasn't in the task force meetings because we never really heard about it and had to get our information through the Freedom of Information Act. So we welcome the transparency, and let me assure you that we want to be part of the solution. The Arboretum, it's my understanding that they have approval to build a four-story parking garage across from their property right now. That is a solution we agree with. You can look at the Garland Road Initiative, all the work that was done on the Garland Road Initiative that apparently was filed in a drawer somewhere. Garland Road is ripe for development. Having Arboretum parking on down Garland Road could only enhance Garland Road. We have every confidence that the Arboretum could build a beautiful, beautiful parking facility on Garland Road, and that would actually enhance the area. If they spent the entire $52 million on the children's garden and hadn't funded parking, which is what the problem sounds to be, I think that they should probably look at Fair Park's DART for an alternative, Mockingbird Station's DART for an alternative. Let's use the parking lot that we have in place. Let's bring people to Fair Park so they can go to Arboretum. Let's bring people to Mockingbird Station so they can go to the Arboretum. But that's not the view that the people at the Arboretum want the visitors to see. They're not going to want the visitors to see Garland Road or Fair Park. They want the visitors to see a beautiful, gorgeous facility where they would have lakeside parking. And that's where our concerns come from. And let me just go on record as saying that as soon as we start discussing park drilling in the parks for oil and gas, we will be back here in bigger numbers than you can even imagine. This was just the tip of the iceberg
connection
with
Thank
the park.
Next speaker.
Where do we get? Just one more speaker?
Thank you. My name is Jennifer Mansfield Peel, 9747 Whitehurst Drive, number 176. It's already been said, I came here because I love White Rock Lake. I want to thank the council and all of the work that you've done to listen to all of our views. As an apartment dweller, free open public spaces are vital to my wanting to live in Dallas, as I have all of my life. And thank you once again for the good work that you do.
Next speaker.
Good afternoon. Megan McGowan, 10220 Killarney Drive, 75218. And all I want to say is pretty much reiterate what has already been said ahead of me. And I want to just specify, too, that I, as an amateur radio operator, have a little bit of a different point of view and a little bit different perspective, literally, from Winfrey Point than perhaps many of the general population. I'm involved with one of the amateur radio communications emergency groups that assists with the Office of Emergency Management here in Dallas. And to me, Winfrey Point is an excellent vantage point for observing weather moving in from the west portion, southwest portion, and northwest portion. As we all remember from April 3rd of this year, Dallas County and surrounding areas were inundated with tornadoes. 17 confirmed tornadoes occurred on April 3rd, some of those within Dallas city limits. As a Skywarn trained spotter, trained by the National Weather Service, undergoing training every single year, and serving as a volunteer with one of the emergency communications groups that does give the information to the National Weather Service by which they can make their watches and warnings in a timely fashion. Our feedback from them was that this information probably saves lives. And because of Winfrey Point and its wonderful vantage point and its ability for us to be able to monitor the weather, I know that we've been able to, on many occasions, spot things that may not be seen by radar, may not be seen on computer models. If access to Winfrey Point is cut off, then we lose a very important vantage point and a very important early morning position. And how many lives could be affected by that? We're happy to know that nobody lost their lives in any of those storms on April the 3rd. And we want to keep it that way. And by having the ability to spot from Winfrey Point, as well as enjoy Winfrey Point for the beautiful, diverse population, as diverse as the species of wildlife that live there, and a population as colorful as the wildflowers that grow around it, we ask you please do not pave Winfrey Point with a parking lot. Let's use the other alternatives and explore the other options that we have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank everyone that participated in the Cinco de Mayo parade and festival. Thank you, Mayor Rollins. Thank you, Councilmember Griggs and Caraway. I really appreciate everyone that participated in there. There were over 77 participants in the floats and all those nice cars and everything, but not to mention there were some that had like additional ones, so they counted 77 entries or more or less. So that was very, very good and very big. I also want to thank or take this opportunity to say Feliz Dia de las Madres to all the mothers in District 6 in the city of Dallas for tomorrow, May 10th. And for this Sunday, Happy Mother's Day to everyone in the city of Dallas. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. I want to add to that Mr. Griggs was the loudest cheerleader on that May in the Cinco de Mayo parade. He was.
There's a problem that happens. I'm the loudest person there.
He was great. Mr. Cadane.
Oh, I don't know if you've seen that. I apologize. Several of us were out of town and couldn't make that. We've been there every year, but I know they put on a great parade, and I'm sorry that we missed it. I'd like to ask Ms. McCallum a question, if I could. That equipment, that weather equipment you're referring to, is portable equipment, is it not?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Let's see, ask your question, please.
Mr. Cadane, what I'm referring to are amateur radio operators who
right.
operate mobile, who may also
right.
operate from their homes, but importantly, they opt the spotters that do physically go out to Winfrey Point. They operate from their vehicles. Others of us may simply operate, by handheld equipment, using, off of our bicycles, for instance.
Yeah.
I'm a regular bicyclist around White Rock. I try not to get out in severe weather when it's storming, but sometimes, occasionally, this is Texas and things can
yeah.
pop up, and things can pop up very quickly.
Yeah, I think that's neat, and that's what I was getting at. That's why it needs to stay open and clear, because they're brought in and they're driven in and out. I mean, it's
yes,
not
sir.
Something that stays there constantly.
That's
so we need
right.
access.
That's correct.
Yeah,
and briefly, while we're on that topic, it's not just vehicles that use that area of Winfrey Point. It's bicyclists. It's people on rollerblades, people
yeah.
walking with strollers.
People walk, yeah.
And, the increased traffic that would come as a result of a parking structure in there, it actually poses a hazard to these people,
yeah.
especially the slower-moving bicyclists, the people on their feet.
Thank you. Thank you all once again for being here. Appreciate
thank,
it.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Thank you. We'll take that motion. Meeting's adjourned at 3:40.
What? I'm inviting you along.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you. Ma'am, how you doing again? Let me ask you to come back to the podium for just 1 second about this equipment. And this also goes to the other folks. I was watching the news, and I saw Mr. Cadane on the news. When you all were talking as related to Winfrey Point. And I saw Mr. Cadane, he had his Help Save Winfrey Point t-shirt on, and I wear a size 4X.
thank you. Meeting is adjourned.